It's 88.5 with Nick Harcourt. Good morning, and I am happy to welcome to our studios a band who's been here before, but not for a couple of years. They've got a new album out today. It's called Good Luck, comma, Kid. That's what you told me to say.
That is perfect. It was perfect.
Good Luck, Kid. And, well, we're going to talk about that in a little while, but I want to welcome back to the studios here Natalie, Allison, and Megan. And you're going to play a couple of songs for us. Over to you.
Would love to.
All right.
Start with Fighter.
One, two, three, four.
We could just carry on, act like nothing's wrong. Don't leave me in the dark. Don't leave me in the dark. I've gotten used to mess, got used to shallow breaths. Don't leave me in the keep yourself from me. White eyes, eyes wide, I want a fighter. Don't lie this time, I need a fighter. You're my right side, I want a fighter. Don't leave me in the dark.
Driver's seat is yours.
seems like we're all losing it. You read the paper, it's all bad news in it. The train's off the tracks, boats capsized. Don't know the left from right. And you think, how am I gonna do this?
Man, that is something to be in the room with you guys while you do that. Amazing. From the title cut from the new album, Good
That's
Luck
right.
Kid,
That's
it. It's Joseph. Welcome back to the studios here at 88.5.
Thank you.
We got tons to catch up on, I think. Last time you were here was a couple of years ago, and you had such a great success on the last album that came
Thank
out.
Yeah.
White Flag, obviously, being the single, the album then that followed that, I'm Alone. No, you're not.
Yeah. Lots of commas.
There's a comma there as well, right? As I was reading, I was like, there should be a comma there. With the success of that single and then that album, you had the opportunity to tour the country and tons of festivals. Tell us about that experience first. I'm wondering, as you sort of go from working at home, the band had been together a couple of years, obviously.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, a little bit of success, you know, like something lights, you know, firelights or whatever it is, and you're out touring. Tell us about that time for you guys.
Oh, man, it was amazing.
It was very fun and crazy.
It was crazy. You know, I don't think we knew what to expect when we got into this, but obviously we had so much help from radio stations like you guys with White Flag. That was huge, and our team was awesome about that. But, you know, there's nothing like the feeling of walking out onto this great stage at Bonnaroo or Coachella and just being like, here we are. You know, like I feel like you use the idea of a stage and metaphor all the time in your life. You're like, oh, here I am. I'm on this stage. This is my moment. But it's a literal stage, and there are literal people like clapping, and it's the most in body thing and out of body. You know, it's both cosmic and physical at the same time.
What's the difference between going from playing clubs at home? And going on a little tour and playing some bigger rooms to then all of a sudden being on a festival and maybe there's 10, 20, 30,000 people in front of you.
It's so totally
electric.
Different.
It's different.
It's also different because you don't know how many people have, like at a festival, have actually seen you play and are technically there for you.
Right.
So you're playing to this virtually brand new audience.
Whereas do you feel like you have to go out and win them over?
Oh,
definitely.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of exciting in that way.
Yeah.
I like it.
But it feels very different than that club show, because at a club show, you're like, oh, these people most likely knew they were here for us.
It's really fun at a festival when you start with a small crowd and then it just like grows and grows and grows, and you're like, we are doing something right.
Yeah, you see people walking by and they're like, oh, maybe I'll stop here. And you're like,
yeah, super fun.
Thank you. Sit down for a while. Take it in.
Yeah.
Now get up and dance.
Yeah.
You know, a hit single makes all the difference, and obviously, you know, that track did so well for you.
Yeah, it did.
When you had completed that cycle, as they call it, of, you know, putting out a record, going out and touring it, and then coming back, catching your breath, and saying, well, got to write some new songs. I mean, maybe you already had some, I don't know, but got to go into the studio and make the next album. How'd you approach that coming off that kind of success?
I mean, you hit the nail on the head already. It totally changes the way you approach writing songs because you've had this bigger palette. You know, it's like all of a sudden I know what it's like to have drums, bass, pedal steel, whatever it is. And so like these songs, it's funny doing them trio because I just can't wait to play them with a band because I know it's just going to be like explosive, blow the roof off.
Well, because these songs all start out on the acoustic guitar, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, they did.
We write everything like that, really.
Yeah, right. A couple of the songs were like, co-written with somebody that like created a little beat that we did something. But maybe beat's not the right word, but.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about that? I mean, did you sit down and work with some other people to try and flesh stuff out? How did that go? I hear mixed things about these kind of things. Sometimes people you sit down with someone and it's like, I'm not really too sure what I'm doing here. And then on other days, you're like, wow, you really helped me contribute something to that.
I felt like we got lucky this time. Every single writing session that we went into,
almost every single one, we came out with a song that we love.
Yeah, and even if we didn't use it, we were like, yeah, we'd release that.
And I love that space because it forces you to finish something. Yeah. You know, a lot of times when I'm writing on my own, I might have half a song and not really know where to go next, and it just stays like that in my voice memos forever. But when you're with someone, it's like, no, we're going to bang this out. Like, even if it's not the best, then you have a full first draft that you can edit later, and it's a fun experience.
Let me ask you a little bit about that thing with voice memos, because, songwriters say that the muse comes and the muse sometimes stays a while. And then sometimes it leaves and doesn't come back. And then sometimes you sort of find yourself looking back at something you did 5 or 6 years ago that you couldn't finish. And all of a sudden, oh, now I know what it needs.
Yes.
Do you go back through old voice memos and listen to stuff? And
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because when we're going into that session with other writers, you want to have a little something. And you may or may not use it, but we'll usually go, what does everyone have? Even if it's just like one lyric or one feeling or one melodic line or something.
For instance, on this next song we're gonna sing, the first melody is from when we were sound checking before a show. It was like they were like, Megan, can you sound check, your mic? And I was like, sure. And somehow I just went, and someone was like, record that. And then it starts.
Record it, loop it.
Yeah, no, it's like the beginning, like the, big melody on this next song we'll sing. So,
That sounds like a great opportunity to get into it, I think. But before we do, thank you for coming in again.
Of course.
It's great to see you. If you look at this album as a finished piece of work compared with the last one, can you spot any differences, perhaps from what you've learned in between albums, maybe lyrically and musically, or perhaps with instrumentation?
So much.
Yeah. I mean, I was talking to someone about it the other day, and we actually had someone point out as they were listening to this album, she was our creative director, and she was like, did you realize that you have 6 or 7 references to driving as metaphors on this album?
I spent two years on the road.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, if I had known, maybe we wouldn't have done that so much. Yeah. But she made this point where she was like, you have this song that's, I was sitting in the back seat, not sure who was driving. It feels like no one's driving, or sitting in the passenger seat, like all of these things. And then in that title track that we just sang, it's they handed you the keys, the driver's seat is yours now. And it's funny because I was describing the first couple years to someone yesterday as being on autopilot in a way, because everything's just coming at you so fast. You're just going, tell me where to stand.
Tell me where to be.
Yes. Yeah. It's like you just do what's in front of you. Uh-huh. And he pointed out like, oh, that's interesting that before it was autopilot and this whole thing is being in the driver's seat.
So you must be looking forward to taking these songs out on the road pretty soon, right?
We are so excited.
Yeah. And the album is out today, as we mentioned, and there's a date in L.A. at the Fonda Theater on October 19th.
October 19th.
Cannot wait. See you there.
And our guests in studio are Joseph. You're going to play us out. Thanks.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much. This song is called Room for You.
I hope to God the world will make some room for you. I hope you're seeing colors that world sees through. You know that I'm right here holding this dream for you. I hope to God the world will make some room for you. Even if we lose touch, we fall off the track. You gotta know that you still love, even if you can't love back. to God the world will make some.